she thought she'd been writing it down in the thing for so long, all wrong. All right. It's all right to smile and have a good time, amen? Amen. Christians should be happy, and it makes you well when you're happy. Makes you feel better when you're happy. It does me anyhow, because when I'm down and out, I feel bad, don't you? But thankful tonight we serve a God that's going to allow us to be up, amen? If you have your Bibles, if you would, the book of Mark, chapter 5. The book of Mark, chapter 5. As I was studying this week and was looking, I come across this, and we've read this, and I'm sure there's been millions of messages preached out of Mark chapter 5. But, you know, when the Lord gives you something, you need to give it somebody else. And I'm thankful tonight that we serve a God that allows us to get things different every time we read the Word of God. You can read the same thing over and over and over. And if you pray and allow the Spirit to open up your minds and your hearts, you can get something different every time. And that's the way I do. You know, I might read 4 or 5 chapters of something that I've read and about quote every verse in it. But every time you pray, Lord, open my heart and my mind up and give me something out of that. And He does. And as we look at this tonight, I want you to think on this thought. No more tomb living. No more tomb living. Now you say, preacher, what does that mean? Well, we look in tonight. I want you to listen to this statement. And if you're writing this down, you need to write this statement down, because I'm going to be preaching to you tonight about the cornerstone, not the headstone. Because if you grab a hold of that, my friend, Jesus is the rock that we build ourselves off of. Every day of our life, if you center around Jesus Christ and you stand on the rock, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to sink. You're not going to fall down, but you're going to be there. And I want to look at this tonight, just the first 6 verses, if you will. Now, before we get started, we know this is the story of the maniac of Gadara, or Gadara, however you want to say that. But that word simply means, listen to this, Gadara in Hebrew means walls, like these walls. Now, if you think about it, the maniac of the walls. In other words, when we read this, you're going to see that this maniac really wasn't a maniac. He was just possessed by the devil, which makes us act crazy. Amen? It wasn't the man, it was what was in the man. And a lot of times we come to church and don't get nothing out of it. It's not what's in the man, it's what the man becomes during the week. And we put up these walls all the time. And when we walk into the house of God, it's like a tomb here at church. And it seems like that we're not being blessed, and there's things hindering us from feeling God's presence. How many remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden? All of a sudden the walls started coming up, and it became separated them and God. He put them out of the garden, if you remember. And every time that we sin, there's a wall that comes up. Does that make us a maniac? Sure it does. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Because we're what we think we ought to be, not what God thinks we ought to be. I want you to look at that. Think about those thoughts as we read now. The Bible says, and they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of Gardenias. And when he had come out of the ship immediately, now watch, there met him out of the, tell me the next word. See? Out of the tombs. a man with an unclean spirit. The Bible says in verse 3, who had his dwelling among the what? And no man could bind him, not with chains. Pretty stout, isn't it? How many know sin has a hold on people just like that? There is so many people, good Christians, that come to the house of God bound with chains. But I'm so glad that I've got a spirit within me that's able to break those chains. Amen? And I want y'all to think, now watch what it says. In verse 4, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. You see that? By him. It's a pretty stout man, isn't it? How many know it? The devil's pretty stout? The more room you give him, the more room he's going to take. Now watch. It says, plugged asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Now watch. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the... See that? He was in the tomb, crying, cutting himself with stones. Can you imagine getting that low in your spiritual walk with God to where you felt like just trying to cut yourself and just taking something? I worked at the hospital and run rescue a long time with Bakers up there, and we went on several, you know, calls that people tried to kill themselves. You know, I told my wife years ago, if you find me dead, count it foul play. I love me too much, amen? But they took a razor, like you shave, y'all know, like a Gillette, if you will. And this guy come in the ER, and he took a razor like he was, you know, he didn't mean to kill himself. He just tried his best to shave the veins out of his arm. And all it was, it was just, you know, raw meat, is what it was. Trying to kill himself. And I thought, you know, as I was reading this, my mind wandered back and how many times that I saw people try to kill themselves. I saw a woman take a .22 pistol and put it right there between her eyes and pulled the trigger. And the bullet went up under the skin, went right there and stopped. Tell me who was in control. I saw that with my own eyes. And she was laying there crying. I was trying to dress the wound, and she said, you can leave that alone, that don't hurt. I said, well, why are you crying? She said, I didn't die. I thought about this man with the unclean spirit. Now watch. I got to move on hurriedly. But it said, cutting himself with stones. Look at verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off. Now watch. He ran and worshiped him. You see, that's why I say no more tomb living. It's time to come out of our shells. It's time to come out of the worldly walls. It's time to come out of the sinful walls and let God tear them down and let us be free like this man wanted to be. I thought, you know, as a result of sin, we all live in a tomb. Every day of our life, you say, not me, preacher. Oh, yes, the Bible says all sin and come short of the glory of God. Not just one, but everybody lives in sin and everybody's going to sin. So I say to you tonight, it's time to come out of that tomb and try to get your eyes back on Jesus and run to Him and worship Him like we're supposed to do. It's time to put away all the childish things. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I become a man, I put away the childish things. And it's time for Christians to quit living in a tomb or in a cave somewhere and break out of that and find Jesus and run to Him. How many know death is our constant companion? You say, why, preacher? Because the wages of sin is what? It's constant companion. And every one of us sin every day. How would you, I can't wrap my head around this, and maybe you can or can't. But I remember when I was lost, undone without God, how did I make it? You ever thought about that? All them years, I thought, man, I got sin built up. I got sin that stacked up that high against me. But I'm so glad when I got saved. I want you to listen to me. I come out of that tomb where the walls was blocking me from seeing Jesus coming across the water, amen? And when I walked out and saw Jesus, I started seeing Him afar off, the Bible says. And then I ran to Him and worshiped Him. And all of those walls and sin and graves, tombs, and all of those things vanished away because of the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed me from all unrighteousness. What you think happened to this man? I got to thinking, man, that was me. That's a picture of me in that grave. You say, did you try to kill yourself? All the sinning I'd done, might as well say, yep, I was on death row. Amen. And I ain't the only one. You was the same way. Every last one of us, there is none righteous. No, not one. And every one of us that's been saved looked afar off and saw Jesus and thank God that we went running to Him and He forgave us of our sins. Amen. I'm so thankful tonight. You know, I thought about, you know, me and Bill come up here yesterday and I brought some things about here in the fellowship hall and I rode out that way and rode by the cemetery. And I looked across there and I seen the headstones, you know, and all the names and all of that over there. I said, man, you know, the graveyard is a symbol of death, right? Well, if the graveyard is a symbol of death, what is the steeple to the church? You ever thought about that? The steeple to the church is not there for a lightning rod. That is to let the lost and dying world that there's life under that thing. Amen. And you see, I told y'all this before and I'll tell you this again. If a person comes in this church, I want them to be able to understand what that steeple means, that there's life in the church. But if we're sitting here dead and undone without God, they don't know the difference. I want them to see the difference. That's what we need in our churches. Not just here, but every church. Amen. That when a lost man, woman, boy, or girl walks in the doors, they can feel the presence of God. They can see God all over this place. They can see God all over His people because they got a smile on their face because He's living in their heart. That's what they need to see when they walk into the church. But every time we walk into the graveyard, it's either one or two things. We're either planting somebody or have a reminder of somebody's death. Is that not right? Every time you walk into the house of God, it should remind us of the life of Jesus Christ. Hey, I don't serve a dead God tonight. He's alive and He's alive forevermore. That's the way we need to be worshiping tonight. John 10:10, the Bible says this. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it what? More abundantly. That makes us smile tonight, knowing that if we don't open our eyes in the morning, bless God, we got a new life on the other side. Because of the steeple of the church, we have life. You know what's on the top of that steeple? Does anybody know? Mm-hmm. You know why? Without the cross, there's no life. Think about that. Before you come to the cross, did you have life? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you know what? Without Him hanging on that old rugged cross and shedding His life's blood, I want you to hear me tonight. He didn't spill His blood. He shed His blood for you and I. Amen. Because there's a lot of times we say, oh, Jesus spilled all of His blood. Look up what the word spill means in the dictionary, and the very next word is accident. It wasn't an accident that my Savior shed His life's blood on Calvary. And when He did, He took that blood and gave me new life. Amen. That ought to make you shout tonight. I'm thankful tonight I don't have to live in a tomb no more. Amen. Next thing I want you to look at and think about this. No man, the Bible says in verse 3 and verse 4, no man could bind him. What makes us think that we can bind our own sin? You ever thought about that? What makes us think that we can break a stronghold that the devil's got on us? We're nothing but just clothed in flesh. That's all we are. But the moment you get Jesus inside of you, you got something bigger than any devil can throw at you. Amen. I don't care what it is, how strong it is, but I'm so glad that whatever the devil is binding you, the Bible says whatever's bound on earth shall be bound in heaven, but praise God, whatever's loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. And I'm so glad He loosed me one day. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. I about shout, amen. Because whatever's bound down here, sin is going to be bound in heaven. Amen. You won't have to worry about sin when you get to heaven. You say, why, preacher? Because old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. We're going to have a new body. We're going to have a new outlook. We're going to have everything about us going to be a new city. The Bible says that John saw that holy city, that new city of Jerusalem descending down out of heaven, adorned as a bride for her husband. Amen. Boy, I can't wait for something new. Man, I'm looking forward to that. The world can contain all kind of laws and programs trying to control people. Just this week, I seen a bunch of them protesting up at the White House. Y'all see that? That's the biggest bunch of garbage I ever seen. Did you hear me? Biggest bunch of garbage I've ever seen. But how many know they can make all the laws they want to down here? It's not going to contain nobody. The gun laws is most ridiculous. Most ridiculous. You take away all of the guns in the United States, you're not going to get them out of the criminal's hands, you'll get them out of the honest man's hands. Are you with me? You take all of those things away, they're going to come in and just wipe us clean. They tried to set up laws, and they're trying to do this, trying to do that. But how many know if they would go from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 and read what the Bible has to say, and we would all live righteously and come out of the tomb of sin and live and walk uprightly like God said, you wouldn't need all of that garbage. Wouldn't need all of that. Man cannot restrain sin. I don't care how you try. I don't care how good you think you are. But man cannot restrain sin. You're going to sin. Because of you're going to sin, you're going to need forgiveness. Amen? And, you know, I think how many times a day I sin. It's unreal, isn't it? The thought that may run through your mind or something you said or didn't mean, but you did. Folks, we sin every day. This man didn't put that demon in him, did he? He didn't say, well, come on, demon, get in me and let's live here a while. He didn't say that. He didn't look at the demonic spirit and invite it in. But I'm telling you one thing he did do. When he saw Jesus, he didn't sit there in the tomb. He come out of the tomb and ran to Jesus and worshiped him like he's supposed to. Verse 7. He cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? Now this is the demonic spirit speaking. Now watch. I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. That's the spirit of the devil speaking to God, to Jesus. For he said unto him, what? Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Well, they might be many, but I got a great big God. He's bigger than any demonic spirit that exists. You say, how do you know, preacher? Because he's got all the keys. He shook the keys in the devil's face and told him, you're going to lose. He shook them and said, one of these days, when on my time, he said, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth forever, where the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And I'm going to shut the door, and you're going to be there forever. Praise God. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. How many know tonight, if we would get out of the tomb and quit living there and get out into the open, you might see Jesus. You might see Him around us somewhere. Last one I want to give you. No man could bind Him. But in verse 5, go back to verse 5, and always night and day He was in the mountain and in the tomb. Tell me the next word. Crying. Crying. Inward man cries for help. You say, what does that mean, preacher? As I'm standing up here, and Brother Jimmy can tell you the same thing. You can look out across this audience, or any audience, not just here, and see the Spirit of God working. You can see, you can feel the presence of God. How many know what ever felt the presence of God? You can feel Him working. You know what I'm talking about? And these people, and I've watched it over the last few weeks. We've had, what, 5 or 6 souls saved here in the last 2 or 3 months. And I've watched these people, men and women, crying, Lord, please save me. 2 weeks ago, Brother Roger come up here. And I saw God dealing with him while I was preaching. And I was watching just the way God was working and moving. And by the time he hit this, he couldn't even say a word. He was crying so hard. You know what happened? I'll tell you what happened. The devil knew he was fixing to lose another one, and he was trying to constrain him in his tomb. But praise God, Roger took one more step out of the tomb and saw Jesus Christ, praise God, and went running to him and worshiped him. I said, Brother Roger, what can I do for you? He looked at me through his tears. He said, preacher, I need to be saved. I said, Brother Roger, all you got to do is confess your sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart and life and save you. He said, can I do it now, preacher? How many know what happened is Brother Roger got out of the tomb that day and walked out and saw Jesus Christ, praise God. How many remember the day you walked out of your tomb? I do. Boy, I can't forget that day. Psalms chapter 142 and verse 4. I want you to look at this verse. I looked on my right hand, beheld. There was no man. that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. David was hurting, wasn't he? He was crying out to God. I looked on my right and beheld, just staring over here. Are there anybody here can help me? Are there anybody here that'll be my refuge? Are there anybody here that will save me? He couldn't find nobody until he stepped out of his tomb and saw Jesus Christ. And he went running and worshiped Him. Folks, that's all we got to do tonight. You say, preacher, I know I'm saved. That's all right, you can still be in a tomb. You can still be in a tomb. You know, I thought many times of a tomb. How when Joseph had that tomb created, he saved a spot for a bed to lay on after his body had died. And they took a little old chisel, just started chiseling, and made a hole in this big old rock. How many know tonight that God's wanting to start taking a chisel and start breaking the rocks? He can't fix something that ain't broke. But He can take something that's broke and start all over and make it what He wants it to be. That tomb, I imagine, I hadn't ever seen it. I've had opportunities to go to the Holy Land, but I just can't bring myself to go over there. Amen. There's too much meanness over there. But I've talked to preachers that's walked in the tomb where Jesus laid. I've talked to them. I said, Brother Bird, Christy does his hair. And he's one that invited me to go last year, invited me to go this year. And I said, Brother Bird, I said, what did it feel like when you walked through that door where Jesus laid? He looked at me and started crying. You know, he gave me one word. He said, empty. Praise God. He said, empty. There wasn't nothing in there, just empty. I said, praise God. You know, we feel empty sometimes, don't we? We get down and out sometimes in that tomb. How many is willing tonight to say, I'm tired of tomb living. I'm ready to step out and follow Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Just a moment. Father, we thank You for the day. Thank You for Your blessings. Lord, we're so thankful that we serve a God that the tomb is empty. It's no longer occupied. Lord, we're thankful tonight for that. But Lord, our tombs are occupied. Lord, I feel it's our time to be the Christians, Christian meaning Christ-like, to get up and walk out of this tomb. No more tomb living. Lord, that we could walk out and see Your blessed face. My, my, what a day that's going to be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land, what a day that will be. Lord, help us to grab a hold of Your hand now and walk out of these tombs. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.